Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be honoring to you. Amen. So I'm a big fan of listening to podcasts. I put my Bluetooth in my ear and I scrub dishes and listen to podcasts. I mow the lawn. These days I snow blow. And I like to listen to news and things about technology. It's just like listening to the radio, really, but just a little more annoying because many of the podcasts I listen to have commercials at the end of them, and the commercials are just not all that variable. I get the same commercial over and over again, and if my hands are soaking wet, I'm not about to pull my phone out of my pocket and touch it to fast forward past the commercial, so I have to listen to them. And one commercial I've heard many times is for a company called iCracked. iCracked is a service where you call them or contact them online, and then they come to your place of business or your home, and they replace your iPhone screen within 30 minutes once you've cracked your phone screen. I don't even have an iPhone, but I do have an Android phone similar, and I have been known to break their screens and then almost cut my fingers on the broken glass. Pretty terrible. So even though I can't use this service because they only do iPhones, I am fully aware and could pretty much probably do the whole iCracked 30-second commercial for you because I've heard it so many times. I know all of you who are without cell phones or smartphones are saying to yourself, what does this have to do with me? And even that, why is he talking about it? Well, I just think like these broken phones, which we're carrying around in our pockets, but that are more in many ways like a porcelain teacups, and we're just hoping not to drop it while holding it all the time and doing all sorts of crazy things and cradling it on our neck and holding a kid in one hand. We've each dropped these phones, and when we drop them, we just pray they don't break. We try to get a tough case for them, maybe. But we as people, we're a lot like these breakable phones. We fall and break literally, but we also fall and break figuratively. We've got the literal scars to prove it, but we also have those scars that no one can see, or at least not many people. Those breaks that hurt just as much, if not more, are the ones to our spirits. Sometimes they lie buried deep, and other times they feel shallow and raw and exposed. In any case, we're broken. We're broken, and we're not the only ones who know. We have a God who knows, and maybe some of our friends and our family. And it's about this brokenness that Paul writes today in his letter to the Corinthians. He opens his letter with what he knows of the problems and brokenness of the Corinthian people and the Corinthian church in particular. And after just a few pleasantries, and this is a reading just before our reading from Corinthians, it's his greeting and introduction to the book, because we're not that far in at verse 18. And he pretty much says, "Hi, hello, the sun is shining. I know you're not okay." Nothing like brutal honesty in the world of 2,000 years ago, where paper is not easy to come by and letters can take months to reach their intended destination. Paul's going to use his words well, and he needs to get to the heart of the matter at hand. He's clearly responding to letters of concern that he has received from this conflicted community, and he wants to set the record straight. He wants to help explain what he sees as the problems, which he'll need more than just one chapter to be able to deal with. But he also wants to begin the process of healing and wholeness that he knows can only come from God through Jesus. If you remember, Paul himself was Saul and persecuted the first Christians in Israel, in Lebanon, and in Syria, before Jesus crippled him with blindness and invited his repentance and gave him a new name, that of Paul. And he gave him a new mission and invited him to follow himself. He followed Jesus. So Paul is not some perfect person writing to an imperfect community. Rather, Paul is a wounded and broken person writing to a conflicted community of wounded and broken people. So here we are today with our broken phones, but other than technology and some medicine, not much has really changed in 2,000 years, even though we can pretend we are just so advanced and civilized compared to the Romans and the Greeks and the Jews of 2,000 years ago. We have the same struggles with ourselves and each other as they did back then. Paul had plagues, and so do we. We have COVID. Paul had relational struggles, and so do we. Paul opens his letter by addressing the fact that there are factions in the Corinthian congregation who want to follow him or a man named Cephas or another person named Apollos instead of keeping Christ at the center of our lives. And we know that we can get off-centered and get away from Christ now too. He goes further, and in our passage from today, he suggests that we are following God in Christ. And to the outside world, this looks foolish. He says this is foolishness to the Greeks. It's a stumbling block to the Jewish folks of his time. This is because, like each of us, Christ is shown by the world to be vulnerable and weak. Christ's humanity comes out loud and clear as he suffers and dies on the cross. And this humiliation is off-putting to many of his time and to ours. Who would want to worship a man who died as a criminal at the hands of the state? Who would worship a frail person who cried out as he died? Who would worship a man who, by all accounts, never had any material possessions of note? Didn't own a home, a farm, or even a donkey. He had to borrow one to ride into Jerusalem, and he had to borrow a room to have the Last Supper with his disciples because none of them owned anything in that city. The world doesn't really respect or hold in high esteem the people who have little and who are incarcerated and killed by the state. So why Jesus? That's the question that Paul is really asking us today. Why would we follow, believe in, rely upon a man and our God who is so frail and faulty in his own physical stature that he walks into the holy city of Jerusalem or rides on a donkey and proceeds to hand himself over to be killed in the cruelest way? Well, maybe part of us knows what it's like to be broken. Maybe part of each of us knows what it's like to bleed and have a broken heart. Maybe a part of each of us is vulnerable under the facade of our strength. And maybe it's only through Jesus' brokenness and our own brokenness that we can truly see and know our God in Christ. And this is hard, isn't it? It's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to be self-revelatory. It's hard to admit that we are imperfect, and furthermore, that we are quite far from perfect. Behind the shiny vehicle or the nice home is a broken person, a broken family, with pieces that may never come back together the way we'd like. And Jesus, who was broken for each of us, comes not to make us perfect and comes instead to lift us up before our neighbors. No, he comes to us and invites us into a relationship where we can invite him into our lives and into our brokenness and say to him, Jesus, make me whole. Take me and take like bits of wet clay and mold me into the person you'd like me to be. And once you do, I'll still have my flaws. But with your love, I'll hold my head up and I'll walk into the future where I know you already are. Knowing that my life and your death, your resurrection, they are not foolish to me. Instead, it is because of those things that I can meet you, that I can identify with you, and I can know you so that we may walk together even into eternity. So how do we share this news? Well, it probably starts with being vulnerable ourselves, by admitting that we are far from having everything figured out and that we are needy. Doesn't sound exciting, does it? But if we're willing to be vulnerable with the people around us, we, like Jesus, will become vessels for news that is not contained in perfect jars, but in cracked and broken ones. The news that you don't have to be perfect to receive Jesus' love, but instead that Jesus actually loves you right where you are, right this minute, and that he meets you there, hears your story, and invites you to link your story to others in a community that we call church. And though diffused and dispersed right now because of the pandemic, this place called church is also a place we may call home, where people not only know our name, but over time know our story and even our broken parts And there is not shame in that vulnerability, but comfort that other Christians know the continuity and features of our lives. And where do we go from here? Well, I think we begin by practicing vulnerability and slowly witness its rewards as we make friends for our walk with God. Amen.